This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Another hog nuisance lawsuit opened in federal court. This one comes from neighbors of a swine farm in Sampson County. They complained of smells, noise, and other issues from the hog operation. These nuisance lawsuits have drawn a lot of public attention to hog waste management. Smithfield Foods recently announced a new plan to cover and capture gas from thousands of hog manure pits all around the country, including many in North Carolina. But, you know, experts are warning against expecting similar promises from the state's other giant livestock industry, poultry. Now, poultry waste doesn't create the same environmental problems as hog waste, but it still poses risks. Elizabeth Utz looked at the difference in how swine and poultry waste is managed to find out why only one of these industries is embracing alternative energy solutions. She's a reporter for Southeast Energy News. Welcome back, Elizabeth. Good to have you.
Thanks, Rick.
Tell us more about this. Hog waste is managed different than poultry waste, though we've got a lot of both, right?
Absolutely. In fact, the poultry industry is even bigger than the swine industry in terms of its economic impact, according to the Poultry Federation. And North Carolina is number two in turkeys.
Wow.
Poultry farms aren't required to have any kind of permit, so honestly, our information is a little bit limited about these farms, but folks estimate there's about 2 million tons of waste generated every year.
They have greater economic impact, but we should say it's far less waste than the hog waste that we produce, right? So, but that's a lot. That's a lot of 2 million tons or more than that of chicken waste. And of course, the problem with hog waste is methane that gets in the air and then pollutants that get into nitrites. Nitrogen that gets into the water, all of those things. What about chicken waste? Are we having the same kind of problems with chicken waste?
Somewhat, but there's a lot less, I think, attention and pressure on the poultry industry right now, in part because of the way the waste is managed. So in hog farms, the waste is essentially kept in these giant open earthen pits, causing the problems that you mentioned. In the poultry industry, the manure is actually mixed with sawdust and other constituents to form a bedding for the animals. And that creates what they call litter in the business. And that litter is then spread on the ground onto crop fields as fertilizer. And because it's spread onto the ground and exposed to oxygen, it doesn't emit as much methane, which is a very potent greenhouse gas. It may not emit, it emits very little, in fact. Mm. And it also, certainly farmers say that they're not over applying that manure and that litter, and that their crop fields can't absorb it. Now, there certainly are some complaints. People, and in fact, some people have started to say that complaints against poultry farms are starting to outnumber complaints against hog farms.
And what other complaints? What are they complaining about?
Mostly odor coming from, I think, the barns themselves where the tens of thousands of birds are housed. It's also what we hear from the hog farms, neighbors of hog farms, because of the animals in the barns. But people also suspect that the manure gets over-applied and is causing nutrient pollution in waterways. But it just hasn't gotten the attention. And again, because these farms aren't required to get a permit even, we just have a lot less information about exactly what the impact of the poultry industry is in the state.
So let's take a look at hog waste and how that's treated and how that's turned into energy. Talk more about that, and then we'll compare it to what happens with chickens.
Sure. So what happens on hog farms is it's already stored in these open pits, and what you can do is cover it or put it in a brand new enclosed pit of some type, and by depriving it of oxygen, you get the little microbes working, and they separate out the constituents so that you can capture that methane gas. Then you can take that methane gas, clean it, and inject it into the existing pipeline infrastructure. That's what Smithfield is planning to do. And then that can be used in a power plant, displacing fossil gas. It can even be converted into liquid fuel, again, replacing fossil gas. So That's the basic deal with hog farms. Poultry litter, right now what they're doing in the state is trucking the litter away from the farms and then burning it in old boilers that used to be used for burning coal or just burning wood waste. So that is, by not capturing the gas, you're not getting the same benefits that you get from hog farms capturing the gas. And then it also creates arsenic and dioxin and other pollutants that folks are concerned about because they lead to cancer and respiratory illness and other disease.
When you don't create the stew first, right? And we just go ahead and burn it. But there are incentives. And it's interesting, too, because that also means because you're not, and I'll ask you to explain this in better detail, but the fact that you're not generating and therefore capturing and burning methane means that in terms of the incentives that companies have and our power plants, for instance, have for burning alternative fuels doesn't count, right?
Exactly. So right now, part of the reason why I got interested in this issue and comparing the two industries is that state law requires the utilities to get a certain amount of swine waste to energy and poultry waste to energy. But there's been a lot less enthusiasm in the poultry industry for taking advantage of this. Excuse me. And so even though there's that premium paid, there isn't the opportunity for poultry farms to take advantage of a national program to reduce climate warming emissions like methane, because they're, again, they're not capturing methane. They're not displacing that. And they also can't take advantage of a national program to incentivize liquid fuel that's made from renewable sources instead of fossil gas.
Because they're not turning it into liquid. So what are the cost benefits? Does it cost too much more to produce liquid fuel from chicken waste?
Well, one problem that one reason that they're not capturing the gas and instead they're burning it is because compared to hog waste, poultry waste has a bit more nitrogen in it and creates more ammonia in the beginning. So there's an extra cost in capturing the gas rather than just straight up burning it.
We are comparing hog waste to chicken waste today on the State of Things. I'm talking with Elizabeth Uch. She's a reporter for Southeast Energy News, and she's compared the two industries. Well, so it does come back to this question of whether or not we should be paying more attention to this, or whether there is, you know, you talked about burning chicken waste and putting some pollutants in the air, arsenic and others. What are the comparisons? Are we losing a lot, and should we be paying more attention to this and perhaps incentivizing changes in the way poultry waste is handled?
You know, the experts and advocates I spoke with really think the first step is to get a better handle on what is the impact that the poultry industry is having in the state on the environment and on neighbors. Again, we just don't have that much information. In a place like Maryland, where there's a lot more attention to the chicken industry and a lot more concern about the Chesapeake Bay being polluted, there are companies are moving towards capturing the gas, which is better than burning the waste, and addressing the problem that way. So I think most folks would say, yeah, first let's get a handle on that industry, on the poultry industry here, figure out what do we need, how much do we need to incentivize this, and then, yes, then how can we get them to move towards capturing the gas rather than burning the litter?
I mean, it is interesting. You say in Maryland where it's important, it certainly is an important industry in North Carolina. You just pointed out how much, in fact, more economic benefit from poultry than even hogs in the state, right?
Absolutely.
So what about then working on the problems? Again, one of the more puzzling questions around our understanding of alternative energy sources is why we don't see the business possibilities in this. As you have a problem, when you have a problem like, well, you know, we produce a little bit more ammonia and then that costs money. That's an opportunity for another industry, more research and more people to make money trying to figure out that problem. Is there any indication in the state of North Carolina that folks are realizing there is money to be made if we can figure out a better ways to process a poultry waste?
I mean, I think part of the problem is that, unlike in the swine industry, there isn't the poultry growers are already making money from their waste, right? So they're already getting value of it by using it as fertilizer. Mm-hmm. Or they're buying some fertilizer, but they're supplementing it. If they can't use all of it on their own crop fields, they can sell it for fertilizer. So one reason that the industry has less incentive than the hog farming industry to figure out this problem and figure out the economic opportunities is you know, Duke Energy and other utilities have sometimes not been able to pay as much as a person who wants to buy that poultry litter for fertilizer. So the economics aren't lining up in the same way as they are with the swine industry. Plus, the current solution of burning the litter, it is not generating very much enthusiasm in the state.
No, but enough. But how about enough attention on the environmental side? Are we doing enough to measure the cost of not treating poultry waste the same way? Do we really know the environmental implications of going sticking with this process?
Yeah. I really don't think that we do. I mean, the right now, in order to there's no discharge permit that poultry farms are required to get. All they have to do is submit a plan to regulators saying, we got a nutrient management plan. We are making sure that we're not over applying that waste, that fertilizer to our fields, and they're deemed permitted. So I think some folks would say, okay, well, the first step is maybe let's change that. Let's get them to, let's actually figure out exactly where the poultry farms are in the state, require them to get a permit, and then we could, again, get
and
a
measure,
better handle.
Measure the environmental impact. Great stuff. Well, you've started us on our way. We now are paying more attention thanks to Elizabeth Utz, who is a reporter for Southeast Energy News, and you can find links to her reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks so much, Frank.
Coming up on The State of Things, the former director of the North Carolina Museum of Art shares his stories from nearly a 25-year tenure as he says goodbye. We'll say farewell to Larry Wheeler on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.